Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
At some point in the summer, whenever things are very slow, we'll have a conversation about it being a good thing that Kareem Hunt isn't on the team anymore because they don't have to pay him. You look at the Ty Gurley situation. If you're the Rams, are you happy with that contract over what's happened the last 6 weeks? You didn't need him to get to the Super Bowl. He wasn't a big contribution in the NFC Championship game. Like, I'm not saying what happened with Kareem Hunt is a good thing. I'm not saying that at all. But the fact of we're not going to have a conversation about should they pay Kareem Hunt, and they appear to have got, what, 85% of the production, 90% of the production?
And that would have been the same year that they're going to have to pay Mahomes, potentially.
For 2 years, yeah. $8 million? Now who knows what happens with Spencer Ware? You bring him back as a solid number two, or you go try to find your next Kareem Hunt on a third round, fourth round deal. Like, Kareem Hunt not being on the team could, moving forward, be a good thing, especially when you factor in what contracts the Chiefs have. We don't get to have that conversation today, but at some point, seeing what happened with Todd Gurley over the last 30 days, we'll have that conversation about Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, I mean, C.J. Anderson was really good in the playoffs for them, wasn't he, and late in the season? And Todd Gurley was not a factor. Not a factor at all.
And we just continue to factor it. I mean, I saw what the Patriots just did with Sonny Michel, who was drafted, what, late first round. Certainly a good contract to have.
It's not good for Le'Veon Bell either. I mean, some of the stuff that we've seen, right?
I feel like somebody's going to pay Le'Veon Bell a lot of money next year. Jets or the Colts, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, he'll probably get it, but, I mean, you can go out and get really, really good production. I mean, look what the Steelers did with James Conner for the majority of the year.
Today's pop quiz was brought to you by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. The winner got $25 to Twin Peaks. Today's pop quiz was West Wing. BK, why'd you pick West Wing?
Well, I mean, tonight is the State of the Union. I figured we could go a little thematic here. And it's also one of my favorite shows ever. See, how you seem to disagree with that?
I've just never seen it before. I don't have no issues with West Wing. I've just never seen it.
I was late to the party on it, but it might have been on AMC. I can't remember what network that they ran. Just constantly reruns of the West Wing. And as soon as I started watching it, I was totally addicted. I think it's a great show.
So coming up in about 15 minutes or so, there is a prominent fantasy analyst that put some projections on what Patrick Mahomes will do for the 2019-2020 season. We'll talk about that a little bit. We'll get back into a little bit of Chiefs. But, BK, give us props.
Let's give props with the guys from The Drive.
Let's start with this one, guys, and we are all of these, of course, are going to be for tonight's game. We start with K-State, Barry Brown, the over-under for points tonight, 15.5. What are you taking?
I'm actually going to take the under on Barry Brown. I think Dean Wade is the one that has the big day in this one. I think the KU can do a decent job in covering Barry Brown today. They haven't done a good job in guarding Dean Wade. The last four times the KU and K-State have played each other, Dean Wade scored 20 points. Give me Wade having the big day, Barry Brown having a decent day, but I don't think he gets more than 16 points, so I'll take the under.
Let me ask you this. Who's going to guard Barry Brown tonight, though? I mean, that's the thing that I'm looking at. They could put Vic on him. Maybe who are they putting on him? That's why I'm taking the over. If Grimes gets stuck on, I don't know who's going to guard Barry Brown. I think Barry Brown's going to get his. I'll take the over tonight on Barry Brown. I think he's that good. You're talking about a senior playing KU for the last time at Bramlage Coliseum. I'm taking Barry Brown. I'll take the over.
Next one for you guys is Dedrick Lawson, an over-under of 19.5 points tonight going up against K-State.
I'm
going
to go the over on Dedrick Lawson. I think they're going to need a big effort from him and Legero Vick. I'll take the over on Dedrick Lawson. I think this is really going to be a showcase for Lawson and Dean Wade in this game. I can see both of them just having big days. I can see Lawson going for like 25-11. I can see Dean Wade going for like 24-13. I think both of them are going to have a showcase to kind of prove who the best player in the Big 12 is. So that's kind of where I'm leaning in either one of these aspects. So I'll take the over on Dedrick Lawson at 19.5.
Yeah, I'll take the over on that too. I think Dedrick Lawson's going to get his, and I think we've seen that Lawson will get his every night. I mean, he's averaging a double-double for a reason. So he's going to get his points, and I think K-State's going to try to do a good job on him, but I think if you can, you know, K-State, or excuse me, KU can't shoot like they did against Texas Tech. So I think Lawson's going to get his. I think their main focus on defense is making sure that KU doesn't come out and start lighting it up with three. So I'm taking the over on Lawson getting
high
his.
High number, though. 19 and a half. I mean, he's only had more than
he's only had 20
or more in three games in the Big 12 play, though.
He's averaging that. He's averaging that.
Not in the
Big
12.
That's his season. I know, but I think K-State's going to focus on trying to limit the perimeter. So I think Dedrick Lawson's going to get his.
Yeah, and I just kind of look at this and kind of where my logic in this is. I think if KU wins in this game, Lawson and Vic are having big-time kind of days, and I think Bill's going to let that be known. Like, I can see Dedrick Lawson coming out here, and if you really look back to how they really attacked Texas Tech, they started using them differently. They started kind of putting them out more toward out toward the free throw line and three-point line to not let you double Dedrick Lawson, which made it really difficult, which really opened things up for KU. I think Lawson has a big day in
this game. If he hits a couple of threes tonight, that'll be big. It last four games, 2-3-5-3 in terms of three-point attempts. So they're changing the way they're utilizing.
They got to. They got to.
Next over-under for you guys, LeGerald Vic. His over-under is 13.5 points tonight against K-State.
I'm going to take the over on LeGerald Vic, too. It kind of feels like a 15-point night for me for LeGerald Vic. Again, I think that Lawson and Vic are going to come out here and really try to assert themselves. And Vic, he's a senior in this. You know he comes up jacked up. I can see Vic taking the first six shots for KU in this game because he wants to kind of establish his presence with authority. So give me LeGerald Vic in the over in this game of 13.5.
I'm with you 100% on that, C-Dot. I mean, you got a senior from KU going in there, his last crack at K-State. You think he wants to lose this game? I think Lawson and Vic both eat in this one. I think LeGerald Vic is just LeGerald enough to go off in this game tonight. I still don't think Lawson Vic are going to be enough for KU to win the game, but I think LeGerald Vic goes nuts in this game tonight.
C-Dot, you mentioned Dean Wade is the one that you think is going to have a big game tonight. Vegas apparently does not. They've got his over-under for total points and rebounds, so this is combined between the two at 20.5. What are you taking here?
I'm telling you to run to the book to take Dean Wade over on this. Run to the book in this one. Go ahead and put me down. Lock me in for a Dean Wade double-double. Dedrick Lawson's just not the tough guy. And I don't mean that like in terms of like he's not. He's just not a physical player. Like, you can definitely kind of push Dedrick Lawson around a little bit. They don't have a rim protector. Like, I think this is kind of a game in which Dean Wade really showcases himself here and kind of showed you why he was preseason Big 12 Player of the Year. So I'm going to take Dean Wade over on 20.5 points and rebounds. I think the number should be closer to 25.5. I really think Dean Wade has a big day in this game.
I do too. 20.5 total for points and rebounds. I mean, that sounds really low for a senior and a guy that's come out and played really well since he came back from the foot injury. I'm taking the over on that as well.
I just think that both of the big guys in this one, Lawson and Vic, are both just really bad matchup problems for the other team. Like, I don't necessarily think that K-State can do a really good job of guarding Dedrick Lawson. Like, I think you can pull Moween away from the basket and kind of exploit him a little bit. And I don't really trust Dean Wade to shut down somebody who I think has diverse of a move and skill set that Dedrick Lawson has in the exact same way. Like, I just don't think KU has the rim protector to really slow Dean Wade down from doing what he wants to do in this day, in this game. So I think both of those guys have good days.
The next one for you guys, sticking with Dedrick Lawson, over under 10.5 rebounds in this one.
I think 10.5 is set pretty well. I'll take the over in this game because I expect him to have a big game, but I actually think the over-under on that is set about where I feel comfortable enough on either side. I'll take the over. I don't feel great about it, though.
I'm going to take the over on that, too. I mean, the guy averages a double-double for a reason. I mean, the way he played early in the season, the way he's starting to play again, I believe in Dedrick Lawson, and I think he's the guy. If KU's going to have a chance to win this game, he's got to have a big game. And who else is going to get a bunch of boards for that story? I mean, really. So I think Dedrick Lawson's going over on rebounds.
There is one other prop that I wanted to get in here on Barry Brown. He had a total over-under 2 made three-pointers tonight.
I think that's perfectly set. I wouldn't actually take any action because I think it ends up being a push. I don't think he has a great day. I think he has a good day in this one, so I'd probably take the under. But theoretically, college basketball, just how it's spreading, it's way more outside in than it used to be. The smart money's probably on the over.
Yeah, I'm going to take the under on that. I mean, he's having the worst three-point shooting season of his career. I mean, he's only making 31% of his threes. I'm taking the under on this with Barry Brown. I just don't have a good vibe on Barry Brown shooting it tonight in Manhattan.
C-Dot, I wanted to ask you guys one other, because I think this is going to be important for the way that the game is played, specifically because Kansas is the fastest team in the Big 12 in terms of tempo this year. K-State is actually the slowest team in the Big 12 in terms of tempo this year. So, with an over-under of 134 points tonight, which way do you think that it's going to go on that?
I think it's going to be over. I would take over.
You sound confident.
Yeah, I would take over slight. Like, I mean, Vegas does this for a reason. Like, it's kind of set, like, right on the line. I'll take the over in this one. I think it's going to be maybe a little bit more high tempo than people think.
Yeah, I don't. I'm taking the under on this because K-State's great on defense, and they can lock you down. I mean, their conference home games, they gave up 67, 69, 55, and 45. And the 69 was, you know, West Virginia's season average, and K-State came back on them being down 21 of that game. I've seen too much of K-State's defense to take the over, and they're at home, and they're seniors, and you've got freshman guards for Kansas, so I'm taking the under.
Here's what I would give as a little bit of advice. If you think K-State's winning tonight, take the under and parlay it. If you think Kansas is winning tonight, I would take the over and parlay it with a money line for Kansas, because then you're getting value for, if it's played in the 70s, I feel like KU's probably going to win it.
Absolutely.
If it's played in the 60s, I feel like that's a game that K-State is winning.
I agree 100% on that, because, I mean, K-State's been so good defensively. I mean, I couldn't believe, I know Oklahoma State's not great, but I was shocked at what they did to Oklahoma State on the road in Stillwater. I mean, their defense travels, man.
I just look at this game, and Fanny, correct me if I'm wrong on this, and that concludes our prop segment for the day.
At some point, if you're like me and you're picking KU to win the Big 12, and I have not wavered on picking KU to win the Big 12, at some point, don't you got to pick them on the road? And don't you got to pick them on a road in a situation and an environment that they normally win? Like, history would suggest, if you didn't know anything, if you hadn't watched these two teams play for a second this season, history would suggest that KU is going to win this game. They've won 64 of the last 71 times they've played each other. Vegas is giving you Kansas and the points today. KU plus 2.5 in this. I feel like at a minimum, if you're like me and you think KU is still going to win the Big 12, then by default, you have to pick them to win this game tonight.
Yeah, I'm not picking them to win this game tonight, and I still think they can win the Big 12 because it's KU and weird stuff usually happens. I mean, you're rolling in there with Obagi, who's a freshman who just took the red shirt off, who's played big, by the way. I mean, he's been phenomenal.
I mean, he might be their second-best player, right?
Yeah, Dotson and Grimes are both freshman guards. You got Dedrick Lawson, who's never played in this game before. LeGerald Vick, who's a senior. I mean, those are essentially your starters right there. And you're rolling a senior-laden squad in K-State with their last crack to beat Kansas at Bramlage. So I like K-State in this game tonight, and I'm with Vegas on this one. I think K-State finally gets it done. They were overmatched and got a little bit nervous, you know, last year when they felt they had a chance to beat Kansas in Manhattan, and it turned out poorly. I don't think K-State's going to let that happen again.
Coming up in just a little bit, there's one prominent fantasy analyst who puts his 2019 projections out for Patrick Mahomes. We'll get into it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Back in on The Drive. I want to play this really quickly for you. This is Barry Brown. This audio is courtesy of KCTV5.
Us seniors, we have bucket list games, and this is one of our bucket list games. We haven't beat them at all the whole time we've been here, so this is definitely real big for us.
I can't imagine the pressure that Barry Brown and Dean Wade are under heading into this game. He just said it. We've never beaten them since we've been here. Not once. Not in the Big 12 championship, not in a regular season game at home, not in Allen. Your number one rival. You have not beaten them one time. And this is your last chance to beat them. Like, yeah. I know you play them twice, and I'm not saying he's going to go into the game thinking we're not winning. This is your last chance to beat Kansas if you're Barry Brown. You've done some great stuff in there. You've been an all Big 12 guy. You guys went to the Elite Eight last year. You've done some great things at Kansas State. Man, to go your entire career without being able to say we beat Kansas in basketball, it's not like a lot of great K-State players haven't been able to say the same thing, but you just don't want that on your legacy. You've got to find a way to grind and get this dub tonight.
You do, and I think you have to compartmentalize the bucket list part of that. If you go in there with the mindset of, man, we got to beat these guys because we've never beaten them before, then you're going to be just like you were last year when Bruce Weber had to call an early timeout and tell you that they're no different than anybody else. I understand it's a bucket list game. I get it. I get that part of it. But you've got to be able to separate that and be able to focus on the task at hand. And I know I sound like Andy Reid when I say that, but that's really the way they have to approach it. If they go in with the fact that this game is bigger than all other games, then that worries me a little bit for K-State because that's the approach they've taken before.
This is the audio you're talking about. This was last season during the game. This was, I think it was after the first media timeout. It was fairly early in the game. This is what Holly Rowe, who I'm sure donates to the Williams Scholarship Fund, this is what she had to say.
Well, Bruce Weber calls that early timeout after getting behind 11-2. He is apoplectic in that huddle. He said to his team, we're all just people. Kansas is nothing special. Why aren't you playing? He wants to know why his guys aren't cutting full speed, running full speed, rebounding harder. He kept saying, we're all just people. Quit being intimidated and just play.
Listen, Holly, there has been a mental block for K-State through the years because of the way Kansas has dominated this series, and sometimes you can want a rivalry game too much.
Yeah, and I don't think K-State's going to let that happen tonight. That's my gut feeling on this one. And, at least Barry Brown was honest about how important this game is. But, again, you've got to set that aside because last year they didn't. I remember going into that game, we had pretty good vibe about what K-State was going to be able to do against Kansas, and they just didn't do it. But I think the difference this year versus last year, freshman guards for KU, three seniors for K-State.
You guys remember the most popular game in Kansas City. It was called Carrington's Hypothetical Button Game, you know?
Yeah.
It was a very popular game. Now, we're not going to play it today.
We're not?
No, we're not playing it today.
I like that game.
But I thought this question seemed very similar to the Carrington's Random Hypothetical Button Game. So, there was a fantasy sports analyst, and I know how much you love fantasy football. You love fantasy football.
I got like nine teams. It's amazing.
So, his name is Heath Cummings. He's a senior fantasy football analyst at CBS Sports. He put his first attempt at projecting Patrick Mahomes' numbers for 2019. 4,616 passing yards, 35 touchdown passes, 12 interceptions. He also would get two rushing touchdowns. It is crazy to think those numbers, which we all think are very good numbers for your quarterback, if I said you press the button and lock those numbers in, I don't think any of you press the button. I don't think I press the button. Given what he did this past season, throw for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdown passes, I'm at least willing to roll the dice that he throws for 40 touchdown passes next year. I don't think I press the button on this. And I'm not saying this is a bad projection. That would be a great season for any quarterback in the NFL. 4,600 yards, 35 touchdown passes, 12 interceptions. You certainly would take that from your quarterback, and that's elite-level quarterback. But given what we saw last season, given what we think the Chiefs can do next season, I don't think you lock in those numbers for Mahomes next year.
I actually would be okay with it for a couple of different reasons. I mean, hell, Brady won the MVP in 2017 was 32-8. And the reason why I'd be okay with it is this. Let's go ahead and assume that the Chiefs' defense is going to be better and that they're not going to have to hang 38, 41 points on every team to be able to win the game. I think the Chiefs are going to be able to get stops next year with a new defensive coordinator, depending on how they – hopefully they get another corner. I think they will. I think that the Chiefs are going to jump out. They'll jump on you offensively, and I think they'll just suffocate you to death in the second half, and I don't think Mahomes' numbers are going to be as high. And that's the only reason why I would say that. And the other part of that, too, I guess two reasons, is because, I mean, the league has seen Mahomes now. You got a full season of film on Mahomes, and I think it's going to be awfully tough to come back and throw – 48 touchdown passes after you just threw 50 when it's only happened twice in the NFL. I would actually press the button for that and think the Chiefs are going to be in pretty good shape.
No, I don't disagree they would be in good shape. But I'm at least willing to take the gamble that Mahomes can be better than these numbers.
You know what's amazing? In terms of the NFL last year, that would have been fifth in passing yards, and it would have been tied for third in passing touchdowns. I mean, those projections, which are like by nature, they're always conservative, already say he's going to be a top five quarterback in the league next year.
Yeah, which is great. And another reason why I pressed the button, I just don't think the Chiefs are going to have to be in as many shootouts next year as they were this year. I think that's really the biggest part of it because, and we've said this for the last few years, I don't think the Chiefs defense can get worse. This time I really, really don't think the Chiefs defense can be worse, and I think the games are going to play out different. I don't think you're going to need 41, 45, 48, 50 points from Mahomes in games to win it. I think next year is going to be different, and that's why I think his numbers are going to be down.
He also gave one more projection for Sammy Watkins. Now, his projection is also based on the mindset that Sammy Watkins is going to play in all 16 games, what I think we've seen is a bad projection to make, but that's neither here nor there. So his 16-game projection for Sammy Watkins, 75 catches, 1,050 yards, 7 touchdown catches on 115 targets. Tell me where the button is for that to happen, because I'll press that button. Heck, I'll press that button right now for Tyreek Hill if you want to give me that. If you're telling me I can lock that in for Tyreek Hill next season, I will 100% press that for Tyreek Hill. That is a great year from your number one wide receiver. I don't think the Chiefs' number two wide receiver is having that.
I don't either. I mean, Sammy Watkins has only had 1,000-yard season in his career, and that was in year two in Buffalo. Hell, he only played in 10 games for the Chiefs this year. So, yeah, I'll take that. I mean, the injury history with Sammy Watkins, the fact that you're going to have to spread the football around to all the weapons in Kansas City with Kelce, with Tyreek Hill. They like to throw to the running back a little bit. Yeah, I'm taking that. I'll press that button in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I mean, I press that button and it's not even close. I mean, I would take that for literally any player on the team. Like, I mean,
how do they come up with that number? Like, I don't know how you come up with that number giving Sammy Watkins injury history.
I mean, this year he had 500 yards in 9 games that he started. So, I mean, the projection would be, based on what he did this year per game, pretty close to that.
But the guy can't stay healthy. And you've got and Sammy Watkins may be your number two receiver, but he's not your number two target. You know, that's the other part of it. So, I would take that in a heartbeat. I don't think Sammy Watkins even sniffs that, even though I wish he would.
Coming up in just a little bit, how much of KU's advantage over K-State is mental? Plus, C.J. Moore from The Athletic said some really interesting stuff on the Silvio DeSosa situation. He had an exclusive one-on-one with Bill Self. We'll play for you some of what he had to say. Coming up, it's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tacoma.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll talk about the Silvio DeSosa situation with C.J. Moore with The Athletic. He actually spoke with Bill Self over the weekend in an exclusive one-on-one. C.J. Moore and Seth Davis of The Athletic both had that conversation. We'll play for you a little bit what C.J. Moore had to say. And I was driving in today, and a random question popped in my head about the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit. This might be a weird analogy and a comparison, but I think both of you will understand it. As you guys know, I went to college in Joplin, Missouri.
Missouri Southern, man. What are they? What's their mascot?
We're the Lions.
That's right.
And I remember that there was a high school right next to it called Webb City. Maybe you guys have heard of Webb City.
I have
before.
Heard of Webb City.
And I remember hearing stories about how kids grew up wanting to play Webb City football. And I think part of the advantage that Webb City had is, we're Webb City. You're Carthage. You're Carl Junction. If you play us in a football game, we are going to destroy you. That I think, heading into a lot of those games, the mental advantage that Webb City had over you was like 10-0, 14-0, just based on the fact of, we are Webb City, we are supposed to win these games, you are Carl Junction, you're supposed to lose these games. I wonder how much of that happens whenever KU plays K-State. Because I'm sorry, if you play a team 71 times in all different kind of scenarios, I'm talking healthy, I'm talking you might have more talent, you might have the better player on the court. If you play a team 71 times, the variables change every single time. K-State only has seven times since 1990. It's a long time. Mm-hmm. Very big sample size. K-State has only beat KU in a basketball game 7 times. We all talk about how bad Missouri is against Kansas. I'm not saying they've been good. Missouri has that many wins since 2000. That's giving me, I can give you another 10 years if they've been better against KU than them. I wonder how much of the advantage in these games is purely mental. Of, we're Kansas, we've got the rules of basketball, we play in Allen Fieldhouse, we've got the Hall of Fame coach in Roy Williams, we've got the Hall of Fame coach in Bill Self, we're just better than you at basketball. That's next level domination. I don't know how you can call that a rivalry if that's the case. I don't know how you can call it a rivalry if we play 71 times in basketball and you only beat me 7 times. How is it competitive? It's not a rivalry if that's the case. I genuinely wonder how much of the advantage that KU has over K-State is mental.
I think it's a lot of it. And it's not just big brother, little brother. It's like brother and stepbrother. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. I mean, when it comes to basketball, you've got a blue blood in Lawrence, and you've got K-State, which has some nice basketball history. But it was a long time ago with Tex Winter. You know, they've had some teams. I remember not long after Bramlage Coliseum opened, and K-State was really good, and KU was really good. I'm taught Rex Walters is a point guard, Anthony Bean playing for K-State, and those were some heated games. But KU always won them. even though they had similar teams at the time. And I do think it's a rivalry because the way the games are played and the intensity between the fan bases. Now, I get what you're saying. They've dominated the series, and they should, based on the recruits that Kansas gets versus what K-State gets. They get better players. That's just the way it is, man. You're getting five stars. You're getting McDonald's All-Americans in Lawrence, and you're not getting them in Manhattan. You got to figure out a different way to win. But I do believe that there's a rivalry there, and I am with you, C-Dot. I do believe it's mental because I think we all had that. You know, no matter what sport you played growing up, whether it was in – I still remember a team – this is going to sound crazy. Like 3-2 baseball as little kids. We were the Fraternal Order of Police. We had FOP on our hats, and we had old, crummy cotton uniforms. And I remember we played a company called a team called C.D. Williams, and they had those Astros uniforms, and they were bigger. They had Target socks. They had all this stuff. They were intimidating to us. Even though we were good, they always got to us because they had the mental edge for one reason or another. I think we've all had that over the course of our lifetime, anybody that's played sports. And I do agree with you. I think Kansas has that over K-State.
Because I just think about what's the best team we've seen at K-State over the last 10 years? Probably a couple years ago. Team that split with them. Team that had Rodney Magruder. Team that had Jordan Enriquez. Mm-hmm. That was a good team. KU beat them 3 times. KU beat them in Manhattan. KU beat them at Sprint Center. KU would have beat them at Swope Park. KU would have beat them at wherever you want to play the basketball game. KU was just better than them. So the best team that K-State's had, the one that they got a band up that says we split the Big 12, you still got beat all 3 times in those years.
Yeah.
Like, it's just hard for me to think the dominance that KU has over not just K-State, but the rest of the conference.
Yeah.
If one team has won the league for 15 straight years, at some point it says as much about you as it says about them. At some point it becomes a mindset of, because we know there's at least one program in the Big 12 I know it's mental for, in Baylor. I don't know what it is when they walk in Allen Fieldhouse. I have absolutely no clue what it is, but I think Baylor goes in there with the mindset of, we cannot win here. That I'm thinking about this matchup, that again, sometimes you have the better player. Sometimes you've got Pullen. Sometimes you've got Beasley. Sometimes you've got Dean Wade. Sometimes you've got Barry Brown. It's not like K-State hasn't had good players over the last 20 years or so. For you to only beat them 7 times in a basketball game over the last 71 attempts tells me they own you in this game.
And it's funny. I think there's other teams in the Big 12 that have a mental edge on KU when they go to their arena. Look at Iowa State. Look at West Virginia. Even in Stillwater, when Bill Self takes his teams into there. I think there are teams that know where they play KU. They have a mental advantage over them. But when it comes to KU and K-State, you're right. And to hear Barry Brown say what he said, say this is a bucket list game for us. Part of that worries me. I love the honesty from Barry Brown, but part of me wonders if they can separate that come game time. Can you just say it's another game? What did Mike Tomlin say a couple of years ago when they were getting ready to play the Chiefs in the playoffs for the Ice Bowl game that got moved to a night game? I remember Mike Tomlin said, we look at every team that we play as nameless, faceless individuals. That's what K-State has to do to Kansas. You can't pay attention to the fact that you're playing Kansas. If you worry about the fact that you're playing Kansas, you're going to get beat. K-State has seniors. K-State is a team that went to the Elite Eight and did it without their best player. K-State can win this game tonight if they can get over that mental hurdle.
A lot of people on the text line are picking different K-State teams. That's perfectly fine. Someone says, our team back in 2010 was way better than the team from a couple years ago that split with KU. You want to know how many times KU beat K-State in 2010? 3 times. 3 times. So, yeah. If you're telling me that the team that K-State had a couple years ago wasn't the best team that split the conference, that's perfectly fine. If you're telling me it was the team back in 2010, they lost all 3 times to KU. Man, even your best teams get smoked by KU. Again, some of that just has to be mental. That's just I'm no doctor, I'm no shrink. It just appears that they just seem to have the mental edge that they go in thinking, we are just better than you at basketball, and we're going to show you here in this game. I want to play for you guys what C.J. Moore had to say. He spoke exclusively with Bill Self over the weekend for The Athletic. He thinks the KU got hoodwinked by the NCAA.
So I think they kind of got hoodwinked by the NCAA a little bit, saying, okay, like, if that's what it takes, like, right, in a hypothetical sense, I guess he was. And but I do think there was real hope that they thought he had a chance. And I don't think they would have applied for the reinstatement if they didn't think they had a real chance.
This is my theory. I don't even know necessarily if it's a theory. It's just my read on the situation. I think that the NCAA is trying to get KU to do the work for them. I think the NCAA, it's going to be hard to really prosecute people with what happened with the Adidas because so many teams are in it. So if something happens to KU, something's got to happen to Louisville. Something's got to happen to a lot of programs. A lot of people got to go down because a lot of programs were involved in what happened. If you think back to what Jeff Long said a couple of days ago, and we can pull it up here, that part of beginning the reinstatement process for Silvio DeSosa was they had to hypothetically admit that this TJ Gasnola character was a booster for KU, then KU has to go down this, well, maybe he was, because he was a booster. KU fans, this is not me throwing jokes. TJ Gasnola's number one priority was to recruit players for Adidas schools, and you are the best Adidas school. By definition, he is a booster. His job was to boost the athletic achievement of the University of Kansas. Now, he wasn't a booster in a traditional sense, but TJ Gasnola, his interest was Kansas basketball being good. And part of his responsibilities with Adidas was to funnel players towards Kansas. They can't admit that was it. They can't go up there and say, yeah, you're right. Hey, you know what? We're willing to eat this one for Silvio DeSosa to get him back on the court. So KU, they commit it in a hypothetical sense. There's no chance that KU can come out here and say, yes, that person was an aid to Kansas basketball. So I think the NCAA kind of wants KU to admit that was the case. So then later on down the line, they can have some penalties on KU because I don't really know how much they got on Kansas.
So they basically threw Silvio on the grenade for him.
They had to.
Yeah. And so... And that's the part where the NCAA screwing up poor Silvio. He's losing his college career. KU's not helping this thing either, man. If KU's going to sacrifice and Silvio DeSosa is going to be the sacrificial lamb for KU that they don't get penalized, KU's just as dirty in this thing as the NCAA is.
I guess in this context, though, like, what do you think KU should do in this?
That's what I would do if I was KU. I don't want banners coming down, and I don't want the streak to end, and I don't want to lose games and have to forfeit stuff. I'm sorry, Silvio. We got to do this to you. I mean, that's what I would do. It sucks, and I hate it.
No, it does suck.
And it's the dirty part of basketball. But, yeah, I mean, KU did what it had to do. It better take care of Silvio, though. I mean, if he wants to stick around and get his education, which I don't know if that's going to be the case, if I read it correctly, he can still have a scholarship at Kansas, and he can still get his education, all that. I don't know what kind of prospect Silvio is going to turn into. I don't know what he's going to do. But he's essentially done eligibility-wise in Kansas for the most part. I mean, he's probably not going to play another college basketball game ever. But, yeah, KU threw Silvio on top of the grenade to protect itself.
I don't even know necessarily if they had to throw him on the grenade. It kind of reminds me of, and BK, you watch The Wire. It kind of reminds me of how they knew in the system that you got to have somebody lower down the totem pole to take those charges so nothing happened to Avon and nothing happened to Stringer.
Got to have your fall guy.
What Silvio
Chris
was.
Chris Carter.
Like,
Chris Carter's the fall guy for KU is Silvio.
Like, that's what Silvio's role is in this. It's unfortunate. It sucks for Silvio. But, KU can't go up there and fully admit that TJ Gasnola's sole purpose was to help Kansas win basketball games. So somebody got to take the fall for it. Somebody's got to eat those years. You know who's eating those years? Silvio DeSosa.
Yeah.
Bill Self ain't eating them. Jeff Long ain't eating them. Curtis Townsend ain't eating them. Jarrett Howard's got to eat them. Silvio's got to eat those years. So he's got to hold it down.
Which sucks if he had really no idea that his guardian took money, which I'm not sure that's the case or not. But if Silvio legitimately had no idea that his guardian took money, and now look what happened to him. Barely got to play.
Coming up in just a little bit, a random question popped in my head today about the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll talk about it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in about 10 minutes or so, we'll get back into KU and K-State. We're going to do something really cool. We're going to have Brian Haney, who is the radio voice for the Kansas Jayhawks. We're also going to have Wyatt Thompson on the show back-to-back. So everything you need to know about tonight's Sunflower Showdown wrapped up in a neat little 10 minutes. We'll do that coming up in just a little bit.
And you can hear that game tonight right here on 610 Sports Radio. Coverage of K-State begins at 7 o'clock right here on 610.
I had two questions pop in my head today. The first one, I legitimately don't know why this Quentin Lucas story is coming back up. Brandon Kiley, our producer. Said today, hey, are we going to talk about this? This is the big deal.
It's awful.
This story, it happened in the middle of November. He's like, no, it's not. I saw it today. And I'm like, yeah.
I told Carrington, I was like, hold on. I'm not doing anything wrong here. Like, this is legitimately a new story. I saw this last night on KCTV5.
It popped up again last night, correct.
And I'm sitting there and I'm trying to figure out how this just randomly popped up. Like, I actually know Quentin Lucas. I didn't see nothing on his Twitter account about it. Like, this just came off to me as the Super Bowl was really bad. We got to talk football. Let's just find something Chiefs related that maybe fell through the cracks. So if you miss what we're talking about, Quinn Lucas, he's running for mayor. He has this idea to promote Kansas City Chiefs in St. Louis, wants to take one of the Chiefs games and give them to St. Louis. Here's what he had to say on November 14th about this idea.
I think right now when the NFL is looking to have more games in London, Mexico City, et cetera, I know the Chiefs have offered up a London game before. I think if we're looking to do these types of opportunities, there's no reason not to expand within the market itself. I get the money point, but I think overall it's probably going to be stronger for the franchise. I think it'd be stronger for the Chiefs brand throughout Missouri. So, and frankly, the entire Midwest.
I want to say this with absolute no malice in my heart towards St. Louis, because you know how I feel about their pizza. You know how I feel about their standing when it comes as a food city.
What about the ravioli?
It's just high-priced SpaghettiOs. I don't know why you would ever get excited about SpaghettiOs.
I like getting that fired up about the ravioli.
Their Emos is trash. Like, just an absolute
It's the single worst part of the city.
An absolute disgrace.
That's the worst part, huh?
The pizza?
Yeah.
It's an anomaly. Okay. It's awful.
I thought there was a bunch of STDs and dumpster fires down there, too.
This is what...
I'd rather eat Emos than get an STD. I'm just putting it out there.
This is what confuses me about the whole story. St. Louis has had multiple opportunities to prove to us that they like professional football. Multiple opportunities. They lost their opportunity. You're never getting an NFL team again. Be happy with the XFL... or the AAFL, or whatever league is starting on CBS this Saturday.
The Alliance of American Football.
You've had your opportunity with real professional football, and you've squandered it, not once, but twice. You don't get a third chance. So, no, we're not giving you a preseason game. We're not giving you training camp. We're not giving you a caravan. Mahomes will never go to St. Louis for anything in his entire life. Ever. I'm sorry.
I know you said you know this guy.
Yeah, I know him.
I'm sure he's a great dude. This is a terrible idea. One of the worst ideas I've ever heard. Nobody wants this. St. Louis doesn't want the NFL right now. Kansas City doesn't want St. Louis to have an opportunity with the NFL. Who was clamoring for this?
Whoever, he's running for mayor. Is that right, C-Dot? Mm-hmm. Whoever's running his campaign needs to, like, tell him to stop. Like, this is not good politics. Like, that's the first thing that I thought about. Are you trying to get people to vote for you, or are you trying to piss them off? Yeah, let's move a Chiefs home game in the regular season to St. freaking Louis.
The place that everybody here doesn't like.
Are you trying to lose an election? Stop. Like, this is the dumbest idea. I get, like, I mean, the Chiefs are already playing in Mexico City next year. It's the Chargers, right?
But, I mean, that's also a road game. Yeah. Now, so next year, if you want the Chiefs to play in St. Louis and they still keep 8 home games, I ain't got no issue with that.
Chiefs Raiders in St. Louis instead of playing in San Francisco.
I'm all for that. But you're not moving a home game to St. Louis.
No, they don't deserve any home football games in St. Louis, Missouri. I'm sorry. You've had your opportunities and you lost them. It sucks for you guys. I'm sure it sucks for your local economy, but I'm sorry you don't get another chance. At home games, someone on the text line asked a question. Sometimes people on the text line, I think they just want us to read their text. They ask questions that they know the answer to. Text line is 69306 on the Protein House Eat With The Purpose text line. So tell me why Los Angeles keeps getting multiple opportunities. Because Los Angeles is media market number 2. St. Louis is media market 21. Los Angeles has a lot more people than St. Louis, so they will continue to get opportunities that St. Louis doesn't have. That's kind of basically how it works.
Is the NFL Network based in St. Louis or L.A.?
I got to be based in Kroenke's new stadium.
Yeah, it's in L.A. Yeah, St. Louis, no. C-Dot's right. You had the Cardinals, they moved. You had the Rams, they moved. You don't get a game. Get soccer. They have a soccer team yet? I know they're trying to get a soccer team after the Rams.
No, that didn't get past either. Story for another day.
So they don't want soccer either?
That didn't get past
they
either.
Just want, so I don't want a bunch of snooty Cardinals fans, a bunch of condescending snooty Cardinals fans going to a Chiefs game. I can't stand Cardinals fans either. No, you don't get our Chiefs at all, period. And whoever's running Quentin Lucas's campaign needs to shut him up about this. If he wants to win the election.
Did he say something new?
To be fair, he hasn't been talking about it. Randomly the news brought it up again.
He shouldn't have said it in the first place.
Just to give you guys an idea when it comes to Los Angeles has 5.2 million households that own a television. St. Louis has 1.1. So that's probably why Los Angeles continues to get all these opportunities.
Yeah, that's why the Big Ten picked up Rutgers. You think it's because Rutgers is a great school? There's a ton of households there.
Well, they also thought that would bring him the New York market, but that didn't bring exactly him work.
No one,
because Rutgers doesn't bring in the New York market. No one likes Rutgers.
When it comes to networks, though, you can claim that footprint as your household. Same with Maryland.
Rutgers is kind of like K-State, where, like, no one likes K-State that didn't go to K-State. Like, you've never met, like, a random fan that, like, if you live in Kansas City like me and you didn't go to any of the three schools, you could at least choose. Like, no one chose to root for K-State. Either your parents went to K-State or you went to K-State, and that's why you're a Wildcat fan. I was thinking this as I was driving in today. Why haven't we heard about Eric Berry's surgery?
I don't know.
It doesn't make any sense. Like,
I don't know if you know this or not, but over at One Arrowhead Drive, they don't like talking about injuries much. And as soon as they fire a guy, they're not even going to let you talk to Andy Reid about why you got rid of Bob Sutton. So I'm not really surprised that the Chiefs are not talking about an Eric Berry surgery right now.
I'm not even expecting the Chiefs to announce it. I'm saying is right now we would be under the impression, based on us not hearing from it from anybody that reports on the NFL, that the surgery has not happened.
Yeah.
That's what I would believe. And we think this is not some routine minor thing. This is he could miss the entire 2019 season. Have we not even heard about this process? Think about, like, maybe this is just a difference in NBA reporting and NFL reporting. Man, John Wall fell in his house today. We instantly knew about it. Team had a statement out. They have the exact same injury. Haglund's deformity is what John Wall has and Eric Berry has. I thought we would hear something almost immediately when the season's over about Eric Berry. Ever since the season's happened, we have not heard anything. So maybe he has had the surgery, and I just don't know about it. Like, he's having, he's recovering, and we'll find out about it in March, where Ian Rappaport will say, hey, Eric had the surgery back in January. They kept it quiet, all that kind of stuff. I just thought that we would hear a headline a little bit sooner of Eric Berry has had a surgery, because obviously it was a very serious issue because he dealt with it the entire season.
I think the worst part about it, though, C-Dot, is that not hearing anything forces people to speculate on what's going on, because, and we talked to Aaron Borgman about Haglund's deformity. He didn't speak specifically to Eric Berry's injury because he can't do that. But he said when you have that type of surgery to go in there and try to grind down those bow spurs, if you get in there, you may have to pull the Achilles off and reattach it, and it's another year. You know, it's essentially what John Wall's having to go through right now.
Well, even John Wall's first injury, the first surgery that he had for that deformity, which is the one that we all expect that Eric Berry's going to have to get after the end of the season, hopefully a couple of weeks ago, it's supposed to be like a 6 to 8 month process from that. So even then, we're talking about at the earliest August, and at the latest October.
And there was serious discussion, and I think Pete Sweeney may have brought this up from Arrowhead Pride. If it was that bad, why didn't you have it early in the season and get him ready to go for next year? And so now we have no idea if it's even happened or not.
Text line 69306. Hey, guys, be quiet. No one cares about Eric Berry anymore. The turnaround that Kansas City has had on Eric Berry, somebody should make a 30 for 30. There was a time where Eric Berry was the most popular person in Kansas City. Now we can't even talk about
it. Also, you have to care about him. There's no other option. He's going to be here next year. He has to be.
I actually don't know if that's the case. I don't know. Just given the fact that they could cut him after June 1, I would bet that it's more likely than not that he's on the team. But
if he's injured, though. That's the thing.
That's why I think you should care about it. Coming up in 2 minutes, we'll catch up with Wyatt Thompson and Brian Haney on tonight's game. Everything you need to know about the Sunflower Showdown for the people who will be calling it. Neatly wrapped up into 10 minutes. We'll do that coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.